is the triumph over adversity and the faith that carries us through it. For the Lord, your God, is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to give you victory. With each step, we walk in his strength. With each challenge, we trust in his plan. And with each victory, we glorify his name. Empowered by faith, united in purpose.
Hey, good morning. We're so glad that you're here today. Thank you for being a part of our service. And if you're a guest with us, thank you for being here. My name is Pastor Scott. As you came in, you should have received a program. And inside the program is a connection card. And we ask you to find that card, fill that out, and then at the end of the service, you can find me. I'll be out here in the hallways and by the blue wall. Love to meet you, give you a free gift, and you can give me the card there. Or if you don't want to meet me, that's okay. I mean, I would love to meet you, but if you don't want to meet me, I understand. You can just drop it in one of the offering boxes throughout the building, and just let us know about your visit with us today. But thank you for being here. If you're watching online, thank you for joining us wherever you might be. And I just want to talk real quick. The past week, we've had a great week of Vacation Bible School. And we had just a number of kids with us, about 100 kids, with us throughout the week. And many decisions were made. And I appreciate all of our volunteers. We had over 100 volunteers that serve in different ways. And I just want to take a minute for our church to just recognize and a nice big thank you to all of our volunteers that served this past week at Vacation Bible School. So if you served this past week, we stand real quickly. Just stand wherever you might be, and don't be shy. There you go. Let's give it up for these guys. We had a number of people that stood in the first service, and I appreciate so much our leaders, Shelly and Jules and Kim Vaughn. And Shelly, our director, she did a fantastic job in the whole week. And the past week, I forgot to mention it in the first service, but they had an offering throughout the week. And the kids raised just over $1,600 for Love for a Child. And so what a great week for that. And we celebrate all that God has done this past week. Go ahead, give the Lord praise. And then I want, before we get into the message, we're in this theory on spiritual warfare, and we recognize that there is a spiritual warfare going on. There's a physical war that's happening, a physical conflict going on, in the Middle East, and I believe that Satan's at the heart of it all. I mean, he is in the middle of it, and so I thought it would be appropriate for us this morning just to... Not to get political, it's not about what that is, but to pray. To pray for peace, to pray for those that are the armed forces all around the world, pray for safety. We want to pray for leaders that's making decisions. And whether we believe you should be in it or not, that's not what the point of this is. It's to pray and ask God. And we recognize the fact that Satan, he's the one that creates conflict. He's the one that's in the middle of the whole mess. And oftentimes we don't think about that. But he is the divider of nations. He is the lion and through and through. And so I want to ask our pastor, Dave, discipleship pastor, our care group pastor, to just take a few minutes and pray for the situation, what God is going on, and pray for leadership, pray for armed forces and all around the world, pray for peace. I know there are a lot of worries and fears in our hearts about what's happening there as well. So Dave.
Please. Lord, we just come to you, and as we consider all that's going on in the world, in the Middle East, Lord, we're reminded that your kingdom is the only kingdom that will have eternal peace, Lord. So we pray and long for that day. But Lord, we know that what happens here on earth does matter. So Lord, I pray you would find us faithful. Lord, we're just so thankful that we live in a country that in the midst of everything going on, Lord, we can come here at church and worship you even today. So Lord, we don't take that for granted. We're thankful for the men and women who gave us that opportunity to be here today in our country. We thank you for our armed services that ensure our freedoms. And Lord, I just pray now specifically for our leaders. I pray for our president and all those that are making important decisions. Lord, let those decisions not be what man would choose, but let them seek after you and all that those difficult decisions. Lord, just pray for that. Also pray for Israel. Lord, your chosen people, Lord, you have a plan for them. But Lord, most of all, they need salvation. So I pray that they would see through these difficulties the beauty of the gospel. And Lord, I do pray for the innocent people there in Iran, Lord, that this would be a gospel opportunity. This would be a chance for them to have the freedom to worship you wherever they're at, whatever circumstance, Lord, life brings their way. And so, Lord, as we read in the psalm, that as the kingdoms and the nations rage, Lord, you sit in heaven and you scoff, you laugh, because, Lord, it is all under your control. So, Lord, we rest in that. Give us peace. Let us not have anxiety or fear, but let us trust in your plan and give us wisdom to do what you would have us to do. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Dave. And we're going to jump into a series on winning the battle this morning. Let me just give you a quick recap in case you haven't been able to make the first couple of weeks. And we're talking about spiritual warfare. And week one, we actually talk about our spiritual enemy. We talk about who Satan is. We believe that Satan is real. He is a real enemy. He hates you. He hates me. He is on an all-out pursuit to destroy, to conquer, and to ruin lives all around us. And so that's his pursuit of us. He is not in pursuit of a relationship with you. He's in pursuit of destroying you. And so we've spent the first week talking about that. If you missed the first week and you want to jump in, you can go on to our app, you know, our Late Point app. You can go online and you can catch up on that first message. Last week, we talked about the battle armor, how to be equipped into the spiritual battle that we're in. And so we took time last week to talk about two specific armor. Last week we talked about the belt of truth, and we've got a friend here, King Bob. That's his name, I guess. King Bob. He's a knight. I guess for our purposes, you know, King Bob. And so that's what we've got here. You don't see a belt, but we're going to assume he's wearing a belt underneath that garment of his. And he is wearing something that got to hold him up, you know, got to hold his pants, got to hold everything together. And so that is the belt of truth. And we spent some time talking about that last week. We also talk about the second piece of armor, and that is what we call the breastplate of righteousness. We talk about what that looked like as well last week. Today we want to continue on, and I want us to go ahead and look and review Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 11 to 15. This is the context of our passage of scripture here. And if you join me in verse number 11, the Bible says that we are to put on the full armor of God, not the partial armor of God, not bits and pieces of the armor of God. You and I are called to put on the whole armor of God, so that you and I can take your stand against the devil's things. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That's the tangible. That's the things that we see. Our struggle is not against each other. There's a deeper issue. There's a deeper root. It said it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, Paul says it again, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Flaming arrows. Back in biblical times, when people would fly arrows, they would take the tip of the arrows, you know, there might be some type of cloth on it, and they would dip it into oil or some type of, some type of liquid that can turn some flammable liquid, and then they would lit it up, and then they would shoot the flaming arrows so that on impact, when they hit the opponent, you know, that there would be some type of explosion and things that would happen. That was really the kind of the first idea, the early idea of a bomb. You know, flying bombs through the air, and that was that flaming arrows, and that's kind of what we saw here. So we're talking about, you know, we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, when I was a teenager, we were up north, and you know, think about 4th of July coming up, and you know what we love to do around 4th of July? We love to blow up things, all right? Fireworks. And when we were teenagers, you know, we had a bunch of bottle rockets, you know, and bottle rockets are cheap. To buy them, you know, for a few cents on the dollar, right? You could get a bunch of them. And we had all these bottle rockets, and one day, me and my brothers and some friend of ours that was up there, we got in the front yard of our cabin and said, hey, instead of shooting bottle rockets up and watching it explode up in the air, what if we play a game of tag and we shoot each other with bottle rockets? And we all thought, that sounds like so much fun, we should do that. And so we lined up, you know, half of us on one side of the yard, the other on the other. It's not a big yard, you know, about the width of this, you know, auditorium here. And it's kind of getting dark, but we're watching each other, and we're shooting at each other with bottle rockets. And you see it coming, we're ducking and diving, hiding behind trees, and we're just having a great, great time. And you say, well, Scott, that didn't sound so smart. I'm not going to argue with that. It wasn't. And one of my friends, as it was getting darker and darker, all I could see is a silhouette. And all of a sudden, I see him running towards us. And what he had done is he had lit the bottle rocket in his hand. And instead of standing here and letting it shoot out of his hand, he thought, I'm going to fire the thing, I'm going to hold it by the bottle rocket, which is not smart, you know, I'm going to hold it by the neck, and then he started running towards us, and about halfway to us, he threw it, it hadn't been ignited yet, and so all of a sudden, I'm like, something's coming toward us, and then about 2 or 3 feet in front of me, this bottle rocket that you could not see in the darkness, all of a sudden lit up. And guess who was coming after? Yeah, and it hit me right here in the chest, and it's whizzing. You know, it's going crazy. And I'm trying to get this thing off like, you know, like it's a bad bug or something. I'm like trying to, you know, because I know that in a few seconds, this thing is going to blow up, and I don't want it to blow up on me. I don't want to blow up on my face. So finally, I got it away from me, and it's right above my head, and it pops. And then I thought, man, I dodged a bullet. No pun intended. And then I looked down, and my shirt was on fire. And so now I'm taking off my shirt, and thankfully I was okay. You know, you said, well, Scott, that was a stupid game. You're absolutely right. It's a stupid game. And this is the kind of image Paul is giving us here, except it's not a game. It's real. That's what Satan is doing to you and to me. He is throwing these fiery darts. He wanted to get burned. He wants to be destroyed. And if we're not geared up, we're in trouble. I've got an acronym on your handout if you want to take notes. And it's the acronym of the word DART. These are the kind of darts that he's throwing at you and me. He's throwing, first of all, the arrows or the darts of doubt. He wants to get in your head and he wants to create doubt in your mind. He lies. He wants you to doubt God's word. You know, he wants you to say, he wants to whisper in your mind, hey, is God really real? Is God's word really true? We want to produce all of these doubts so that we can become what James chapter 1 talks about, become a double-minded man that's unstable in all his ways. He wanted to have doubt. He wanted to be confused. And that's the first doubt that he throws at us. He also throws the doubt of anxiety. Anxiety. The word anxiety or the word anxious, it means to be pulled in different directions. Satan wants you and I to be pulled in so many different directions. Who wants to be pulled? Who wants to be pulled from the main purpose? Who wants to be pulled from the calling of God in your life? You want us to be pulled in so many different ways that we're busy. I often say that the devil, if he can't make you bad, he can what? He wants to make you busy. If he can't make you bad, then he'll make you busy. That's what he wants us to be pulled in so many different directions. He wants to be worried about everything and get our eyes off of God. So that's the doubt of anxiety. And then there's the doubt of rebellion. He fires rebellions at us. A lot of us, you know, we've had problems with authority figures. Sometimes students and children want to just power up against the parent. You know, we see it all the time. Rebellion. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, doesn't it? You know, Satan, he shot the arrow of doubt at Adam and Eve and said, did God really say? Did God really say that? I mean, you know, are we going to take God at his word? And then he said, hey, you guys, hey, rebel. And Adam and Eve, they were not ready for it. And they rebelled against God. The letter T is temptation. Temptation. We call it trouble. Maybe you have financial trouble, marital trouble, family trouble, emotional trouble, temptation. Satan is constantly baiting us to fall for his traps. And so the doubts, they're real. We are in a spiritual warfare, and most of us, we're just oblivious to the warfare, and we're oblivious to the armor that God has provided for you and for me. You have to prepare for us. And last week, we talked about the first armor, armor number one. We talked about the belt of truth. We talk about standing on the truth of God's word. Not the truth of your emotions. Not the truth of popular opinions. Not the truth of our culture. But we stand on God's word. And listen, God's word may not always be popular in our world. But it's the truth. The Bible said the truth will set you free. And so the belt of truth, and we have to be on a foundational piece of our lives, we have to be connected to truth. And then we talk about, you know, the second armor, the breastplate of righteousness. This is the firewall. And for you and for me, we have to live in a surrendered life, all of our lives to him. Do not let the devil have a foothold in any area of your lives. He said, well, Scott, I've done pretty good. I'm 95% there. I'm 95% obeying God. 95% obedience is still disobedience. And some of us, we've allowed an area of your life, we have subleased a room of our life to the devil. Now, it's not his room. A greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you, with the power of God in you, can remove that foothold, but you have to surrender to the Holy Spirit. You have to surrender to him. And if you don't, listen, if you just allow him to live, he will keep pushing the envelope. If he can have one room, he'll take two. I'm reminded of this. The past week I was reading through the book of Joshua, and I'm reminded of the story of Joshua. They were commanded to take the whole promised land. And the sad fact is, by the end of Joshua, chapter 22, Joshua chapter 23, when it was all said and done, they let some of the enemies, some of the country live. They didn't take the whole promised land. They said, you know what, God, we're good enough. We've allowed the enemy, hey, they don't bother us too much. They're on the fringes. But they let them have room in the promised land. And then we get to the next book, the book of Judges, and the whole thing collapsed. What's in the picture of you when you give room to the devil, when you allow him to have a space in your life, it's not going anywhere. You have to get rid of it. That's the breastplate of righteousness. All right, so number three and four, we're going to look at the third and the fourth piece this morning. Number three, we want to talk about traction, which I call it the gospel boot. The gospel boot. This is the traction. Look at verse number 15 again. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Traction is what keeps you from slipping. I remember one time I went to in high school, I played soccer, and I forgot my cleats. So I just went to practice, you know, and I went to practice without my cleats. I had regular gym shoes on, and I thought, this will be fine. I can still play soccer. I'll be just as good as normal. And I got out there, it was kind of a little wet, some mud, and my game was all about slipping and sliding and no playing soccer. It was terrible because I had no traction. I was not on point of what I needed to do. You see, the Roman soldiers, when they wore their boots, you know, some of them, you know, if we go back to biblical culture, they were more like flip-flops, except on the bottom of the flip-flops, they had spikes. They were kind of like cleats. And it allowed them to be mobile against the enemy. They could go forward, they could go backward, and they could go ahead into battle and do what they needed to do. They had the stability, the foundation. And Paul said, this is what we need. We need the gripping power when we know Christ. You see, when you and I know Christ, he will set us free, but he also will give us the peace of God, and he also want us to have peace with others. Let's talk about the gospel. What is the gospel? That's the good news. The good news, that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and Satan hates that message. Why? Because that's what defeats him. That's what sets people free. And Satan doesn't want people to be freed. He doesn't want people to know the gospel. When people live with the gospel of peace, you see, Satan, it's all about the gospel of discord, division. That's his doctrine. And the gospel of peace brings everyone together in Christ. And so we are to be prepared, the Bible says in verse 15, to be fitted with the readiness or preparation that comes from the gospel of peace. The readiness means to be prepared. To always be ready, to always be prepared with the gospel in our lives. To always be ready to declare it. Always be ready to declare it to non-believers, and always be ready to declare it in our own lives when we need to be reminded of the death, burial, and resurrection and the forgiveness of sin that he forgave you. And always be ready with the gospel message. For some of you, you need to take the gospel of peace to the workplace. For some of you, you need to take the gospel of peace to your home. For some of you, you need to take the gospel of peace into your relationship. You need to let people know who Jesus is. We have to always ask ourselves, if I know Christ personally, do I have peace with him on an ongoing basis? Am I living in the will of God? Am I living in righteousness? And am I in peace with others? Well, that's what the gospel is all about. The gospel of peace, we must be grounded there. And that gives us traction. Listen, so important. As Christians, we are to thrive. I know it doesn't always happen. It can take two to tangle when it comes with relationship. But as much as you're able to on your end, the Bible declares that we are to live at peace with others. To live with peace. Doesn't mean that always happens, but God said, hey, be the bigger person. Be the bigger person in this. The devil wants to cause discord in your relationship with God and with others. I've heard it said before, you cannot be right with God if you're not right with others. If the vertical is not right, you know, if the vertical is, you know, it's not right, then it's not right here either. He said, well, I got a good vertical relationship, but my horizontal relationship is not so hot. And then God can challenge you. Listen, if you want to be right with me, you got to be right with others. You have to. That's what the gospel boost is all about. Traction and truth. Grip through grace. And moving about with peace. Because the world's looking for peace. And they're looking for peace all in the wrong places. They're looking for peace here and there, and they just can't find it. But you and I, we know where real peace is found, and it's found in the one, Jesus, who gives it to us. So we've got traction. That's the gospel boot. Here's the second armor that we want to talk about here today, and that is the shield of faith. This is the cover. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Paul says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. If you're taking notes, the two reasons why you have a shield of faith. And the first one is for your protection. Protection. Now, we got up here. And Gladiator, Knight, King Bob, whatever you want to call them. This is not the best. We didn't make this. If I had to make it, it would look a little bit different. This was on loan. It's nice. It's cool. Let me just talk about this shield here. This right here is probably the most pathetic looking shield I've ever seen. I don't know what it's protecting. Maybe the knuckles? You know, I mean, what is it doing? And so if you really want to get real about what this looked like in Bible time, a shield would have been a lot bigger than this flimsy little thing. All right, but hey, you know, we're thankful for the illustration, right? You know, but I want you to imagine that shield to be a little bit bigger than what you're seeing there. In fact, it would have been a shield that would have been almost the size of a door. The whole person would have been able to hide behind a shield. It was usually made of wood, several layers of wood, and then on the final piece would be like a leather that would stretch the front. And then before they would go into battle, they would oftentimes the soldier would take their shield and they would dip that shield into water. Why? So when the flaming arrow come, it would be able to extinguish those flaming arrows, the flaming darts. And so a soldier could completely hide behind the shield. It provided real protection. Now notice that in verse 16, it says the shield of faith. It does not say the shield of belief. Two different things. Belief and faith is different. Faith is you acting out on your belief. It's one thing to believe. It's another thing to act on what you believe. Last summer we went in Colorado and we went to a place called the Royal Gorge. How many of you have been to the Royal Gorge? Just, you know, be a few people. All right, you've been there, and the Royal Gorge, take the picture of it. It's a long bridge that you walk on, and it's the highest suspension bridge in the United States. The Arkansas River flows underneath it about 1,000 feet below this bridge. The bridge is about a quarter mile long, and it's about 18 feet wide, so it's not a very wide bridge. It is made for a vehicle to drive on it, but you don't see people drive on it, you know. It's wood planks, you know, that line the bridge going from one point to the other end. And a lot of people, they get there, they get excited about it, and they look at this bridge, and they freak out and say, that's pretty. I believe that you know, you'll be fine. I just don't have enough faith to walk it. For some of you, that prayer might give you a little bit of anxiety just looking at it. You say, yeah, not for me. Now, you know, I just the past summer, this was my second time at, well, actually the third time I've been to the Royal Gorge. I've been to it when I was younger. And I just remember, you know, back then, I didn't care. I mean, I'm going from one end, looking over the rail's only this high, you know, just looking down and, you know, and you know what teenagers do? Little kids, what we do, we like to spit and see and watch, you know. I would like to say that the past summer, last summer, I matured a little, and I didn't do that, and so all good. But my kids, you know, they did what I would do. And so, you know, we're enjoying it. It's a cool view, neat. And I turn around, there's Karen. Karen's like, I don't know if I can do this. I said, Karen, it's going to be safe. Look, I'm jumping on the bridge. You know, by the way, you can see between the board. You can actually, when you're walking, you can see through the board, the bottom. It's not just that much. Not a big deal. Someone's like, no way, you know. Karen's like, all right, finally, I hold her hand. She stays, walk right down the middle, you know. Very, very few times we've been to the side, and it's okay, that's good enough for me, you know. Walk down the middle, looking straight up, she didn't look down. It's just, you know, you know, quarter mile of a hike across the bridge. And then we get to the other side, and then they have a nice little gondola, you know. And she said, I feel much safer in a gondola. And I'm like, you know, okay, you know. And so she went back that way, you know. But there are people that just won't do it. They won't walk over. Hey, they'll say, hey, I believe the faith is, the bridge is good. I just don't have enough faith to act on it. And some of us here, when it comes to the shield of faith versus the shield of belief, some of you have Jesus in your heart. You're a Christian, but you have not trusted Christ in every affairs of your life. Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the righteous will live by faith. The righteous is the one who carries that shield of faith and trusts God even when it's challenging to believe. You say, God, I'm going to believe, and I'm going to put my faith in it. I'm going to trust you. I think about George Mueller. He's a famous, you know, faith figure in a Christian faith. In 1832, he moved to England, Bristol, England, to pastor a small church. And that's where his famous work of orphanage began. Two small children showed up at the doorstep, and Mueller only had 2 shillings to his name, that's the equivalent of about $10-$15 in today's currency. And he had that kind of money, and that's when he began his orphan ministry. And over the next 50 years, God sent more than $7.5 million in today's currency to provide in 50 years the ministry of orphanage. Buildings were built, new buildings were purchased, staff were hired, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids never missed a meal. Many times, George Mueller would pray over an empty plate, just praying for God to provide. And have his shield of faith and say, God, I just trust that you're going to take care of it. And then minutes after he prays, God would answer the prayers, and food will be supplied. Mueller resolved never to tell anyone what his needs were. He didn't hold fundraisers. He didn't go dump at different churches and say, hey, help me with my orphanage. He just privately trusted God with full confidence, with the shield of faith, that God would take care of every need. And in his lifetime, George Mueller started 117 schools, which educated over 120,000 young people and orphans. Incredible. You see, my friend, our faith is in Christ, not in ourselves, And not what we can do, but in Him. See, we live out and we act out what we believe to be true. And because we believe the Bible is God's word, we should sync up our lives with His word and act it out, live it out to what we know to be true. This is an act of faith. It's an act of faith. I'm not talking about the faith of salvation. That's the beginning point. But this is an ongoing act of faith in Christ. This is, I call it the alwaysness of Christ. If you're taking notes real quick, picking up the shield of faith means that we have faith that God is always, that alwaysness is involved in our lives. Psalm 3 verse 3. The psalmist David said, "But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high." Even when you can't see Him, even when you can't feel Him, He's there. Our God, He's active, He's aware, and He's surrounding you like a shield. Protect you. You might feel alone sometime in the fight. But God says, "Hey, I'm in it with you. I'm with you." So lift your shield and trust that He's not distant. He's present. Here's the second thing. Picking up the shield of faith means that we have faith that God is always, the alwaysness of God, right? He's always going to come through for you. Psalm 145, verse 18, "The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy." See, it may not happen in your timing. It may not happen in the way that you expect it to happen. But God never fails to come through. He always shows up in the way that He knows what's best for you and for me. So hold up your shield. We wait in confidence and not fear. We pick up, number three, the shield of faith. Picking up the shield of faith means that we have faith that God is always in control. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. "And we know," for we know what? "What the all things." What the all things? That's the good and that's the bad and the ugly. Take the best thing of your life, the worst thing of your life, and the ugly thing right in the middle. He said, "And we know that in all things, God works together for those who love Him, to those who have been called according to His purpose." He's working all things for good. He's in control of it all. He's in control of everything. The shield of faith is for your protection. Remember, He is shooting a fiery dart. And I've seen this so many times with Christians, with followers of Christ, that when the shield of faith is lowered, then they become open to the fiery, flaming arrows. And it starts attacking you. And you start going through the difficult times of life. Satan starts to whisper, said, "Man, I thought God was on your side. Where's God, man?" That's what he does. And I've seen so many Christians, I've seen so many followers of Christ fall away from their faith because they go through a rough time in their life, a rough patch, a storm. And Satan gets in their head. I've seen so many Christians, they fall, they fail. And Satan says, "Hey man, you're out. You're a no count. You're no good. God can't use you anymore." And we lower the shield of faith, and we quit. Oh, the shield of faith, God is always there for you. We have to trust Him. We have to believe and act in faith what we know is true. And so the shield of faith is for our protection, and number two is for unification. The shield of faith is for our unification. If you were to study, and again, this is not a great illustration of this, but if you were to study what a shield would look like in this time period, it's this massive shield, and it would have waves on the edge to lock in with the other soldiers' armor. And so they could, part of Roman Empire warfare, they actually kind of came up with this. They came up with the idea of a phalanx. And they would lock in their shield together to be one unit. And you would see them, they would actually move like a moving tank 2,000 years ago. They were connected. And when they were connected, they offered more protection, not just for themselves, but for each other. See, that's why the local church is so important. That's why we need each other. You know that there are 58 one another commands in the Bible? To love one another, to serve one another, to pray for one another, to forgive one another. All these one another's. And we are to pray for each other and to care for each other. The problem with Christians is instead of advancing as one, we take our shield and we turn it and face the other shield and we start comparing our shield to other shields and say, hey man, my shield is bigger than your shield. And I can't believe that shield that she has on. I can't believe the shield that he put on. We play the comparison game. We think, man, I don't need anybody. I got this on my own. I don't, you know, this shield's not that great. I can do life better solo. And if we remember what we talk about in week one, Satan is looking for the stragglers. It's so important for you to be unified. It's so important for you to be connected in unity with one another. So as we wrap this up, what's our takeaways? Well, we talked about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness already last week, the gospel boot, the shield of faith. Talk about those fiery darts coming at you. Those darts are real, but so is your armor. So is your Savior. And when the enemy fires those fiery arrows at your soul, two things I need you to know. You need to stand your ground with peace beneath your feet and faith in front of your face. Walk in peace with the gospel. Every step you take, you should be reminded of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the way that you live with him and with each other. Because if not, Satan will divide and conquer. We will be disunified. And then, the faith that's in front of your face, the shield of faith, as you weather the storms of life, oh, that's when Satan comes at you. With the fiery flaming arrows. And say, hey man, we're God in all this. And you're reminded of your faith in him. That he'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. And then, here's the second takeaway. Stop living like a victim. And start living like you're already victorious. The battle's already been won. The battle's been won by our Savior Jesus Christ who died on the cross for you and for me. And if you're here and you're a child of God, you need to recognize your identity is in him. I said it last week. When you put on Jesus in your life, when you live for Jesus, then you are wearing every piece of the armor. It's starting with Jesus. Being clothed in Christ. We don't have to live defeated. When Satan gets you down, get back up. Because like I've already said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Battle's real, but so is the armor. Put it on. Don't fight the battle without wearing it. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you're doing in our lives today. And God, how you're speaking to our hearts this morning. God, there's some of us that perhaps there's some areas of our lives where we're not at peace with. Maybe we're not at peace with you. Maybe we're not at peace with others. Peace at home, peace in a relationship, peace at work. God, I pray that we do everything we can to live and strive for peace. Help us to let go of our egos. Humble ourselves and surrender to you. Because that's what you did. You humble yourself and you die. Even to the death of the cross for us. We had offended you in so many different ways. And yet you still loved us in spite of our offense. And then God, help us to live with the shield of faith. With everything that Satan throws at us on a daily basis, help us to be grounded in your word and to live out in faith what we know to be true in your word. Help us this week as we live out a surrendered life to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.